in casual conversation. Not in the way you're thinking, anyway. Similar to a tourist shuffling around San Francisco and calling it Frisco, anyone referring to the nexus of Hollywood life as such nowadays would reveal herself as an out-of-towner who'd happened upon a detailed Wikipedia page. It's so archaic, in fact, that many of my colleagues don't even realize that's where the gossip site got its name. La Cienega looks like most surface streets here in Hollywood. Rows of shops and restaurants built at odd angles and crammed into every inch of possible space. Palm trees and billboards that shoot for a gray-smudged blue sky. And cars everywhere. To the north is the stuff most Hollywood dreams are made of, where a backdrop of steep hills seems to have erupted straight from the asphalt. Multi-million-dollar homes sit like Tetris blocks on the hillsides, their gleaming windows and gated drives towering above the city. It's one hell of a panorama, if you can afford it. But, like most people here in Los Angeles, I have my feet safely on the ground, and at home my only view is into the apartment across the alley, inhabited by a frequently shirtless Moroccan juggler. There are worse sights, I suppose. Although I hate La Cienega and its never-ending gridlock, the boulevard is as much as the crow flies as you're going to find through L.A. Any local will tell you that driving here is all about timing. Leave at 2 and you can get nearly anywhere in 20 minutes. Leave at 5, like everyone else, and it'll take you an hour to go 5 miles. Thank God I'm usually one of the last ones out of the office. I look up at the sound of a knock and see Daryl, in all her blonde-haired, blue-eyed glory, standing at my door. While I'm the precise amalgamation of my 2 dark-haired, dark-eyed parents, Daryl Hannah Jordan is the picture of her namesake, and looks more like she just washed up on the set of Splash than grew up in San Dimas, 3 houses away from me. "The workday ended over an hour ago," she says. "Just reading this article before I go." My eyes narrow instinctively as I study her. Daryl was in a skirt and sky-high heels just a few hours ago. Now she's wearing a pair of scrubs and has her beach blonde hair pulled back into a ponytail. "We have that party at Mike and Steph's tonight. Please tell me that's your costume." Daryl starts to fidget and becomes increasingly interested in a non-existent spot on the hem of her shirt. And I know I've been had. "No," I gasp. "I'm sorry." She falls dramatically into the chair opposite me. "You dick, you're flaking? I don't want to, but I forgot I promised my uncle I'd come in tonight. Why didn't you remind me this afternoon? You know that's your job in this relationship." I slump back in my chair. Daryl worked her way through college at her uncle's medical spa and enjoyed the hell out of that employee discount while she was there. She's gorgeous, with tight skin, perfect boobs, and a thigh gap you could watch TV through, but she's also the first to admit that a chunk of that is due to the pioneering efforts of science and her uncle, Dr. Elias Jordan, plastic surgeon. Daryl turns 30 this year, and in addition to her job upstairs in the TV literary department, she's been doing some extra work for him on the side to pay for all her recent fine-tuning. Like most people in this town, she's determined to never grow old. Thankfully, she doesn't have to worry about that anymore because I'm going to kill her. Well, this day has been comically bad. I checked my phone before tossing it into my purse. "Remind me why I love you?" "You love me because I listen to your endless movie trivia, and my passivity complements your need to be in charge all the time." I wish I could argue, but she's made 2 good points. I grew up obsessed with movies. It's in my blood. My dad was an electrician for Warner Brothers, and my mom did hair and makeup for almost every studio around. By the time I was 8, I'd convinced them to let me ride my bike after school to the neighborhood video rental store. Yes, I am old. And then talked the crusty old manager, Larry, into letting me work there for free rentals. When I was in 11th grade, he finally agreed to start paying me.